The Lord be with you. Hebrews 11 says that the people passed through the Red Sea by faith. But not at first they didn't. See, at first when Moses first said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," Pharaoh responded by making the slavery of the Hebrew people worse. And so the Hebrew people said to Moses, "Stop asking for freedom. You're going to only make matters worse. Keep the peace." And then when Moses finally did lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt and they were headed towards the promised land, the Hebrew people saw in front of them the Red Sea unpassable and saw behind them Pharaoh's army chasing after them. And the Hebrew people said to Moses, "Were there not graves enough in Egypt? Is that why you led us out here in the wilderness so that we can die?" They said, "We wish you had left us alone and never told us about freedom. We wish you had left us in peace." But what they call peace is really slavery. But they cling to it because it's all that they have. It's all that they know, and we do the same thing. In every generation, we cling to what we have, and we say to ourselves, "We have so little, we best not rock the boat in case we lose it," and we call that fearful clinging peace. But it's not peace. It's slavery. It's slavery to fear. And so in our gospel lesson today in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No. No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus has not come to bring peace. He has come to unleash division. And Jesus does this not because he wants to spread violence or hatred, but because Jesus has come to show us that there is a life beyond the one that we know. There is a life beyond this existence, but to get there, it means letting go of the existence that we have known. And that good news terrifies people. It terrifies people because it terrifies us to let go of what we have, even if we're letting go to grab hold of something better. And I have seen this play out in so many ways. I've seen this good news of a better life terrify parents when their children have become more successful than they ever were, and the parents become afraid that their children won't need them anymore. And I have seen this terrify friends who for years as a group have made self-destructive decisions together, and then one of them realizes that there is more to life. And so they stop making those decisions, and I've seen how angry the other friends get to be told that there is more than the life that they have lived. And I have seen this good news of a better life terrify grown children, adult children whose parents say to them, "You can't live in our house anymore," because they know that there is more to life for those kids than eating Cheetos in their parents' basement. And yet it's terrifying. Terrifying to let go of what we have, even if it's to grab hold of something better. I've seen it terrify churches, congregations who've said, "If nothing changes in 10 years, we'll all be dead and have to close our doors. But we better not try to change anything to follow Jesus, because then there might be conflict, and who knows what'll happen. Best not to risk it and just head sure fast to the grave." But I'll tell you the person it terrifies the most. The person that this news that there is a life beyond the one we know, who it terrifies is the devil. Because the devil's power comes from making us believe that this is as good as it gets, that there is nothing more in this life than what you already have, so you best cling to it and not hope for something more. The devil does this in every generation. You best believe to the Hebrew people, the devil said, "Sure, you're in slavery. Sure, you get whipped every day. Sure, the Egyptians kill your kids. But Pharaoh feeds you 3 meals a day. It's not going to get better than that. Don't rock the boat. Don't risk it. Keep the peace." And you best believe that the devil says to folks this very day, "Sure, your extended family treats each other really poorly. Sure, there's a lot of dysfunction, but you get together twice a year and you put on fake smiles and have awkward conversations, so don't risk that. Don't risk it by naming the dysfunction, by having healthy boundaries or asking for healthy relationships, because you know what? You might not pass that dynamic on to your kids and they'll get left out. Don't risk it. Keep the peace. Or perhaps the devil says to you, you don't know why you get up and go to work each day. You look around at all the stuff in your house and none of it brings you joy. And the people there you don't get to see because you're so busy working, but don't risk it. Don't risk following Jesus and having a life of service instead, because you might lose all the stuff in your garage. So keep the peace. I know what the devil's been saying to me recently is, when I turn on the news and I see this week another person has been gunned down in the street in senseless violence, when I see our government separating families, and I see public insults being passed off as public leadership, I hear the devil say to me, don't stand for anything different. Don't bring up controversial topics that might cause conflict and division. Don't try to change the world and make it other than it is, because this is all you've got, and if you rock the boat, you might lose it all. Best keep the peace. Now, I don't know what the devil's whispering in your ear, but I know this, anytime the devil tries to tell you not to hope for anything better, because this broken world is all you've got, I know it's a lie. I know it's a lie when the devil tells you not to risk it, because I know Jesus. And Jesus risks it all. He risks everything he has in this life so that we might know that there is a life beyond it. Jesus welcomes the sinner and people object. Jesus heals the sick when he's not supposed to and people object. Jesus stands in the middle of the empire of Rome and proclaims the kingdom of God, and people say to Jesus, keep your mouth shut. Keep the peace or you'll kill us all. And I know what Jesus says in response. He says, do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And so the people of his time, the authorities of his time, they divide Jesus. They divide his flesh with a spear. They divide him from whatever honor and reputation he has by shame and humiliation. They divide him from his friends who abandon and betray him. And yet in Hebrews 12, it says that Jesus, he despised all that suffering. He endured the cross because he knew there was a greater joy. Jesus went to the cross for the greater joy of showing us that there is a life beyond the one that we know. That this existence isn't all that there is. That death isn't the end, that God's love is stronger than any sin and any brokenness. And that God's love claims each and every person as a beloved child of God. Jesus goes to the cross to show us that what we fear as division can actually be the breaking forth of the kingdom of God in our midst. If we are willing to drown our doubts in the waters of promise, if we are willing to let the fires of the Holy Spirit melt our fears, then we can see that risking what the world objects to cling to the world that is to come in Christ, means that yes, we may lose peace as this world defines it, but we gain the peace of God. And Jesus may not have come to bring peace to this world, but there is peace in him. Because true peace comes from not trying to fulfill all the demands that the world tries to put on us in order to control us. True peace comes from trusting in the freedom that we have in Christ. And so, at the very end of the gospel, according to Luke, Jesus will say to his disciples, peace be with you. But he says to them, peace be with you, not when they are afraid that they might lose everything that they have. Jesus says, peace be with you, when they are terrified that they have already lost it. He says it to the disciples after he has been crucified. After they think that they have left their homes and their families and their jobs to follow Jesus, and now he too is gone, and they find themselves hiding in a little room out of fear of what other people might do to them. Jesus comes to those disciples and says, "Peace be with you," because those disciples have known the worst that this world has to offer. All the whispers and fears and what ifs that the devil has put into their ear has come to pass. And Jesus says, "You have seen the devil at his worst. And now I have come to show you that there is more. That there is more to this life. So let that be your peace. Let it be your peace that you know God. That you know God's love. That you know that one thing that can never be taken away, the love of God, and that it is the greatest gift in the world. This is peace. This is a peace that is a painful peace at times. That is a difficult peace always. It is a peace that the world cannot give, but it is the only true and lasting peace. And it surpasses all understanding. It is this peace that Jesus gives us. But Jesus says today in the gospel lesson that he has come. He has come to be baptized, and how he is under stress until it occurs. But Jesus was dunked in the waters of the River Jordan chapters before this. No, the baptism that Jesus is talking about is the baptism of his death. Because that's what every baptism is. Every time we pass through the waters of promise, whether in the font or whether the Hebrew people crossed through the waters of the Red Sea, it is a death. A death to the life we knew. But it is also a resurrection to the life on the other side. And so every generation that has come before us has passed through these waters of baptism, through these waters of faith, through these waters that offer death to what they have known and offer life to something new. The Hebrew people stood on the waters of the Red Sea, and it says by faith they passed through them, dying to their life of slavery and entering into a life of freedom, trusting in God. But every generation in Hebrews 11 that's listed does this time and time again. Whether it's Rahab or Samson or David, every generation that has come before us has at some point chosen to say, "I reject the peace of this world, and I'm willing to risk it all for a greater peace." The peace that comes in Christ. Our ancestors who risked leaving the homelands that they knew to come to a new land. Our ancestors who stood up against the oppression and the slavery that they knew to find freedom. Our ancestors who said, "The world tells me to spend all my day earning as much as I can," but instead chose to devote themselves to making sure the next generation knew the faith of Christ. They did all this not so that they could have a fullness of peace in their own life, but that we might have the promise of peace in ours. And so today, people gather together in this church. 10 folks come to this congregation because they have been walking through life and they see before them a sea of water. And they're afraid to cross it, but they have heard Jesus say that on the other side is life, and they have heard the devil say, "No, there's not. There's only what you've walked through before." Parents come with a baby because they have heard that there is on the other side of these waters life, and they have heard that there is a congregation that will walk with them to the other side. These people come today because as they stand on the waters that divide what they have known for what can be, they have heard that the people of Faith Lutheran, when the devil comes whispering that this is as good as it gets, shout back, "No, it's not." That the people of Faith Lutheran reject the devil and all the forces that defy God, because the people of Faith Lutheran have looked to the other side of the waters and they see footprints there that are wet from our ancestors, from the Hebrew people that have crossed through to the other side and made it to the promised land. They come here because they have heard that the people of Faith through Lutheran look across the waters to the other side and they see Jesus there, who's passed through the waters of death and says he can keep going and show us the way. They come here because they hear the people of Faith Lutheran see on the other side the pillar of fire that led the Hebrew people through the wilderness, that set ablaze the hearts of the disciples in that room after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost and sent them out into the world, into a world divided by language. And those disciples found unity by learning to speak a language other than their own, but found we all speak the same language in our heart, the language of God's love. These people have come here because they have heard that we will echo the voices of that great cloud of witnesses that cheers us on from every generation, and that we will take them by the hand and we will step into the waters of that sea and trust that we can pass through it because we have faith in the one who has crossed over already and leads us to the other side. I believe them. I believe that we are those people. And I believe it won't be an easy road, but I believe that we can get there together with Jesus guiding us, with the Holy Spirit empowering us, with God pouring out grace and strength each and every day. And I ask you if you believe it also. And if you do, I ask you to stand right now. I ask you to stand because right now I invite all those folks who have come to become members of faith to gather around this water. And I invite Christopher and his family and godparents to gather around this water as we gather together in prayer, as we gather together in promise. This world is not as good as it gets because Jesus has shown us there is something better and we aren't afraid to get there.